I just had a thought just before that. It's in Psalm 1, and it says, "But he, his delight is in Jehovah's law, and in his law that he meditate day and night." And but the specific verse is 3, "And he is as a tree planted by the water brooks, which giveth its root in season, and whose leaf fadeth not, and all that he doeth prospereth." So basically that's a result of not being carried away by every wind of teaching. So basically that's growing up in the faith and the knowledge of God and Christ.
So if we're talking about how this strengthens unity, if really that's the overall question, how this strategy that is employed strengthens the unity, can we say that because there's a diversity of gifts found in a diversity of believers, is it so that it is recognized, because we're not talking about specific problems right now, which each of these things would meet, because you have teachers and they all meet a specific need, but outside of the needs, so now I'm in an assembly, I'm in a room where there are some who have the gift of teaching, and there are some who have the gift of an evangelist, there's some that, and all of these things. So now I'm able to recognize in cultivating my gift, I'm also recognizing your gift as well, where there might be a lack in me, I'm recognizing you. So now the unity is seen because I am now recognizing fully that I'm part of a whole. I mean, the example is part of the body, and you know, if the ear says I want to see, well, then you're not going to hear. So, but if I'm able to recognize the beauty, not of just what I'm able to do, but what we're all able to do together, it seems that from on high, that's what the Lord is doing. He's now cultivating something that not just I don't have an appreciation only of what I'm able to do. I'm a teacher. I'm teaching. That's all I'm doing. That's my focus. Instead, now I'm a teacher, but what I'm supplying to the greater, it's the greater good is always in mind.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no. Steve was really leading us into a really good point. It's those three things: perfecting, that is maturing, equipping. Part of what Joey said: how does a person identify what is their capacity that God has given them in grace? It's instructing. These particular gifts are very specific and very targeted. Now, there's a whole bunch of other gifts that we're really not looking at, but these specific ones are with the view that all the saints might be matured, equipped, that all the saints might be engaged. Remember yesterday we mentioned that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath prepared beforehand, prepared for us to walk in them. We need to know what our agenda is. We need to know how to conduct ourselves in a crazy world in which we live, supporting one another, building one another up. So these particular gifts are to prepare so that we might be engaged with the intent that the body might be built up.
Yeah, that's along the lines of where I was thinking. And I wanted to underline something else, too, that the gifts that are given here in Ephesians 4 are specific gifts that are given for the foundation and the building up of the assembly. In Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, and also in 1 Peter, there's mentioned other gifts. And I don't know that it's an exhaustive list in either of any of those portions. But what we need to see here, And what I want to underline is it was mentioned for the brothers. Well, the sisters have gifts too. Mm-hmm. And I've known sisters that could sweep me right under the carpet with their understanding of Scripture. And there's a time for sisters to help. And it's not public. We know that. We don't want to give the impression that this gift is just for men. These gifts here are specifically men that have been given to the body, but the other gifts in the other lists are, all of us, right? It says to all have been given. So just to underline that, we love our sisters and we don't want to leave them out, right? Mm-hmm. So, having said that, The other thing that we need to see in this portion is that one of the reasons the gifts are given, one of the reasons it says here in verse 14 that the gifts are given, is so that we're no longer tossed to and fro. Mm-hmm. Remember back in Ephesians 2, it says we once were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we once went according to the course of this world. We were tossed back and forth. But now we've been taken out of that, and we've been placed in the body through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through salvation, and now we've been placed as a living stone, if you will, at the end of chapter 2, and we're being built up, and it's so that one another, so that none of us are left out in the cold, none of us are out on the fray, but we're all brought in so that none of us are left tossed to and fro. And, you know, this is so important in our assemblies. If we would look when we come together, instead of saying, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. If we would have the attitude, how can I help? Who can I help here tonight? Mm-hmm. Who is it in my assembly that I can help? And maybe they're feeling a little out on the fray. Maybe they're being a little tossed to and fro. And you see how these gifts work to bring one another in and to establish one another. And it says here, so that we don't fall prey to the wind of doctrine. And then we'll get into verse 16 a little bit later.
But could I add there, Tim, by the trickery of men, mm-hmm. that, so there's opposition. There's really an effort to disrupt this, but we will get into that in more detail.
Yeah, that's good. That's actually, I think we should spend a little time on that theme. I really appreciated a comment from one brother that I read in this idea about being tossed to and fro. There's a lot of action in being tossed to and fro, a lot of motion. But action and motion are not the same as growth. Sometimes we have the impression that, you know, we know when we are being in this condition. We know when we're being tossed around and we feel all uncomfortable. But actually, sometimes we misinterpret all of this action and motion. You know, we go this direction, we go that direction, we go another direction, and we say, look how much is going on. Mm-hmm. But motion is not equivalent to growth. Mm-hmm. Growth and maturity also will produce action. There will be an increase. That's also an action of enlarging, but it's not the same as tossing. So maybe we could focus a little bit on this thought of how unity is related to maturity. Maturity not just of us individually, which is also true, but this context is till we all come, that unity of the faith. We had the unity of the Spirit in verse 3. And the unity of the Spirit is going to lead us in the direction of the unity of the faith. And it is, in one sense, a goal that will never be fully realized until we all come to the unity of the faith. When will we truly, fully be, have the height of Christ's height, the fullness of Christ? When will that really be our height? It's when we will finally and fully be conformed to his image, when our lowly bodies individually, when the church collectively is presented to him as a glorious church, presents it to himself. But it is what we should be striving towards. So how is it that when we're striving towards unity, there is this companion thought of maturity and spiritual growth? We could look especially perhaps at verses 13 to 16, but other thoughts no doubt too will be helpful.